This is the voice of truth, the voice of God's inerrant, absolute, unbroken, verbally inspired word. This is Pastor Albert Pendarvis bringing you another message by the late Pastor L.R. Shelton, another old-time, old-fashioned message. Today's message is the signs of the times, the Gentile sign. We'll give you the mailing address at the close of the service.
No student of God's word can fail to see that God declares the coming again of Christ to this earth to rule in righteousness and with a rod of iron. Yes, it's a fact that the Christ whom the Jews rejected and crucified and whom the Gentiles are now rejecting in this age of grace will one day descend from heaven in his glory and majesty and take up the scepter of David's throne and reign over both Jew and Gentile. Yes, that's true. Ever since the Lord taught me the truth of God's word about the coming of my Lord, I have been watching for the signs of his coming. Not the special of the event of his coming, but the coming of my Lord, my Redeemer, who died for me, who pardoned my sins, canceled all my sin debt, washed me in the blood of the Lamb. I'm looking for him who wears the nail scars in his hands. I'm waiting for him who ascended into glory and is interceding for me at the right hand of the Father. I'm longing for him who redeemed me out of the slave market of sin to come and take me from the presence of sin. Yes, to me it is not just an event in the world's history. It is the personal coming of my Beloved who loved me and gave himself for me. If you've never read my booklets on my Beloved, I wish you'd order them. We'll send them to you free and postpaid. Then you can need not wonder then why that I look for him daily to come. We'll call your attention to the closing days of the Gentile rule, which is called the fullness of the Gentiles, when iniquity shall have reached its fullness. And many are wondering now, if iniquity has not just about reached its fullness, and seemingly no leader is able to stop the ongoing or the downgoing of sin. God set aside the Jews when they rejected Christ and opened the door to the Gentiles. He gave them space to repent. They repented not. Therefore, he opened the door of grace to the Gentiles. And when sin is ripened in the world under Gentile rule, the door will be closed, and the world will be turned over, both Jews and Gentiles, to Satan to rule through his seed, the Antichrist. And all the world will be trapped in the snare of the devil, who are taken captive by him at his will. God's judgment will fall, and then Christ will return to take over the rulership of the entire world for 1,000 years. I know we're living in a day now when the doctrine of no millennium, no rule of Christ on earth in person, is being taught widely, but the Bible teaches otherwise. The Jewish sign is the fig tree that begins to bud. The nation Israel is beginning to revive. And the Gentile sign is stated in this verse. Listen, as it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be in the coming of the Son of Man. Now, just that means it was as it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be in the days of the coming of the Son of Man. As it was means it'll be exactly before the coming of our Lord, just like it was when in the days of Noah. There won't be any difference. Right here I want to urge you, if you will, write for the series of messages I gave some time ago on sin, if you don't have them. How sin entered the world. Sin, its awful nature and misery. especially the message entitled, Three Chains That Binds the Sinner in Satan's Prison. You can only understand the dealings of God with man in the light of sin and God's grace through the cross. To understand these signs of the time, let's notice the fact that God put man on probation in the Garden of Eden, and man chose his own will and rejected God's rule over his life. Then he put him under a suspended sentence because of Christ, the eternal Lamb slain before the foundation of the world. After he gave Adam the sacrifice and the promise, he gave him time to repent. With both the sacrifice and the promise, man as a whole refused to repent, but pursued his own way, his own course, his own will, until he lost his way back to God, and the end was the flood judgment. Sin grows worse and worse, my friend, unless the grace of repentance is granted toward God and faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Faith and repentance worked in the heart by the Holy Spirit are the restraints that God puts upon sin in the sinner, wrought there by the indwelling Holy Spirit as He reveals Christ to the sinner through the Word. The only barrier that man has to his sins is the grace of God worked in the heart by the Holy Spirit. Now that's true. After the flood judgment, God again suspended the sentence upon mankind. Do you not marvel at the grace and love of God in Christ, my friend, and wonder at the long suffering and forbearance of God according to Romans 2:4, when he said the goodness of God and the forbearance of God and the long suffering of God leadeth thee to repentance. God ought to have just sent the whole human race onto hell where they belong. But no, God's love would not let man go. His eternal decree was to make man in his own image, the image of Christ, and he could not fail. So he chose one man, Abraham, by which to preserve a pure race, just as he had chosen Noah before the flood. From Abraham's seed came a nation that found favor in the eyes of the Lord, and he bestowed grace upon grace upon them, brought forth his own son as the seed of the woman to sit upon King David's throne. But the Jews also rejected his will and rule over their lives, said, "We'll not have this man to reign over us," and slew their king, committed deicide. Then God turned to the Gentiles, are the rest of the nations, and from them called his Gentile bride, composed of believing Jews and Gentiles, which we know as the church. Christ, speaking to his disciples, called the church the salt of the earth, which would be means through whom he would check the untamed wickedness of the heart of corruption or self-willed man. But the age of the Gentile has about run its course. The church has lost its restraining power except for a few of God's elect believers here and there. And wickedness is becoming great in the land. The Gentile rule will end in failure, and Christ's rejection under the world ruler who will come to the forefront at the end of the age. That, my friend, is briefly a summary of the history of the world that will show you where we are today and where we are going. We are nearing the coming of the Antichrist. I'm going to give you a series of studies later on the Antichrist. The whole world is looking for, now you get this, the whole world is looking for and waiting for and even longing for a dictator who can promise peace and bring order out of the world's chaos. But when he comes, he will be the Antichrist, Satan's son, or Satan incarnated. Preachers are looking, religious teachers are looking Theologians are looking for that man, the Antichrist. Christ said, I came, and you would not believe me. But when another comes, the Antichrist, you will believe him. Now that's the spirit that's abroad in the land today. As it was in the days of Noah, so shall it also be in the days of the coming of the Son of Man. The conditions in Noah's day was a condition of natural man given up to his own lust, having his own way, eating the fruits of his own doings. Isaiah 3:10, human nature never changes because man is born by generation. That is, he's the offspring of his father, going all the way back to Adam. Now you listen. This is the hated truth in every natural man's heart. I've heard sinners under conviction acknowledge their sins that they commit. But when the Holy Spirit starts to uncover your sin nature, you rear and pitch and buck because that is where the heart of the trouble lies. Man's self-will is the very warp and woof of his nature, and you will not bow for your will to be broken. That's the condition of the world today. That's the reason you're not saved. Your will has not been broken. As we examine the different signs of the time, you notice that every faculty of man has been corrupted by Satan and being turned over to Satan. Man is getting bolder and bolder in sin as he has a conscience seared as with a hot iron. He refused to acknowledge it as sin and tries to get rid of every evidence that he is a sinner. For instance, quieting the guilt complex through quiet music or psychology or through other ways and a delusion or by a delusion of religion, along with more and more books on the theory of evolution and all the false doctrines that's being taught today that does away with the sin nature of the individual. Or that is covers up the sin nature of the individual. You won't have it. The first sign the Lord calls our disciples' attention to in Matthew 24 is found in verses 4 and 5. Listen. And Jesus answered and said unto them, take heed that no man deceive you, for many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ, and shall deceive many. In the last 50 years, we are told, there has been over 1,000 men who have come out saying that they were the Christ. Now that was an amazing statement to me, that over 1,000 men in the last 50 years have come out boldly stating that they were the Christ according to the prophecy of God's Word. A religious delusion is the first sign set forth as paving the way for the coming of Christ. This means that both the Jews who were blinded at their rejection and crucifixion of Christ and the Gentiles, including the Gentile church, will come under a religious delusion. You know, it's an awful thing to be under a religious delusion. What is it? It's a false belief. It's a fixed misconception, according to Webster. Delusion means something which one accepts as true or real, but which is actually false or unreal. You think you're right. You'd argue to the very last you were right. It implies deception, commonly self-deception. A religious delusion, then, is the fixed belief that one is worshiping the true God or is worshiping the true God in the right way. But the result of a religious delusion is a false security in the way he allows himself to live. Now that's an awful thing, to live your life thinking that you are right, and then when you die, 2 minutes after you die, or less time, you wake up in hell, deceived, finding that you're deceived, won't that be an awful thing? As it was in the days of Noah, what was the religious picture in the days of Noah before the flood? Well, the age of innocency, or the days of Adam and Eve before the fall, ended with the first pair choosing the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, and the judgment of God falling on them by driving them out of the garden. The next period of the world's history opens with the birth of two sons and the choices they made in their worship of Jehovah. Cain chose to bring up the fruit of the ground, an offering unto the Lord, while Abel brought of the firstling of his flock and of the fat thereof. Here we have the crossroads of religion, salvation by works versus salvation by a blood offering, that is, by blood redemption. Here we have the seed and the kernel of true religion versus false religion, works or grace. Now, that's the only two religions in the world today. They're just two, works or grace. Now, how are you saved? By grace or by works? You can't mix them. It's either pure grace or pure works. Now, how are you being saved? The Bible teaches only one way, for by grace are ye saved through faith, that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Human history is an unfolding of these two seeds, and the judgment that is coming is the gathering of the harvest produced by these two religious lines. Let's look at Cain just a moment. We see that he came to worship God. He believed in God, and he worshipped him as God. He brought an offering to him, recognizing him as Creator, King of heaven and earth, and for he brought an offering unto the Lord. But Cain ignored God's word concerning the blood offering, and he brought him an offering of fruits and flowers, the works of his own hand, that which grew of the cursed ground, again ignoring the curse. On the other hand, Abel acknowledged the curse upon sin, and through the obedience of repentance and faith, offered the lamb as God had instructed him. That's what we have today, a denial of the curse upon man, and all that man touches, all that man produces, they deny the curse there, and have substituted the doctrine of evolution, or that man is growing better and better and better by the training and the culture of his own life. When you deny the curse of man, then you don't need a blood sacrifice. But a poor old sinner who knows he's a sinner, like myself, who sees and feels and realizes his utter depravity, his hopelessness apart from a blood sacrifice, never ceases to praise the Lord for Christ, the Lamb of God, and to worship him who died for him. So the true worship is a sinner under the curse of God, trust in a blood sacrifice, the Lord Jesus Christ. The false worship is a sinner, maybe aware of the curse of God, resting upon him, trusting in some religious acts or emotions that he can do or that he feels. The sinner under a delusion thinks in terms of doing something to please God or experiencing a religious feeling that quiets his fears. Isn't that an awful thing? As the rushing tide of modernism or false religion today is gaining momentum and gathering ever little stream of false worship in its wake, I wonder if you are under the blood of Christ. I wonder if you have ever realized that you were under the curse of sin and under the judgment of a sin-avenging God, and you were compelled to turn to Christ because he loved you and died for you and called you to come to him, repenting and believing. Have you? Have you? And called you to come to him? Do you know? Do you know, my friends, that he's called you to come and you wouldn't come? If not, will you? You'll be swept with the crowd into the rapids of sin death and hell. You may be deceived about some things and get by with it. But if you're deceived about blood redemption of the Lord Jesus Christ, you have no shelter for your soul in the day of God's wrath, which is rapidly approaching. I wish I could warn you today, my friends. Now, your attitude to the blood of Christ reveals your attitude about your state before God. You know, my friends, when you hear the sinner in his closet pouring out his heart before Christ, you will think he's committed such a great crime. But if you knew what was grieving his soul, you'd be amazed, because in the impenitent heart, it is even lighter than probably vapor. That is why the unbeliever can go on and sin and laugh it off and explain it away. He has never seen the awfulness of sin in his own heart and life. He thinks it so little. He permits himself greater and greater indulgences in sin, and society as a whole becomes more corrupt every day. It is this moral corruption that is finding outward an extreme expression today in every organization of the world's systems. I mean by that religious system, social system, economic system, political system, and so on. These are the signs of the Gentile set forth as in God's Word, pointing us to the end of the Gentile world rule, and we're at it now. Our political leaders say that we're headed for an inevitable shake-up in world affairs. They're crying out, what can we do? What can we do? Things are happening so fast today that fear is seizing upon every thoughtful individual, because we know that things can't keep on going as they are, and as they are at this time. With these thoughts in mind, let's look briefly at some more signs pointed out in God's Word. As in the days of Noah, which were the days of Cain's civilization, the society that the religious philosophy of works for salvation produced. Let's see. Turn to Genesis 4:16, which says that Cain went out from the presence of the Lord and dwelt in the land of Nod, which means wandering, on the east of Eden. This is an indication of the empty, restless heart going here and there, seeking enjoyment and satisfaction. That's what we have worldwide today. The traveling, the restlessness. Men can't be still. There's a restlessness among the people today, driving them to plan everything in the world to keep their hearts and minds occupied. It's an age of travel and visiting. Daniel says in Daniel 12:4, seal the book even to the time of the end. Many shall run to and fro. Knowledge shall increase. Widespread travel. The jets that shuttle back and forth from all the countries over the globe. Then notice, increase of knowledge. When have we ever lived in a day when there was more education on the market, more schools, more books, more teachers, more science projects, more space programs? In the religious world, there are more Bible schools, more seminaries, more DDs and PhD degrees that are turning out educated preachers to pastor the large number of new churches springing up all over the country. Nowadays, a preacher cannot preach in even one of the smallest churches unless he has a degree. But Paul said, ever learning, never able to come to the knowledge of the truth, that is of blood redemption, for sinners under the curse of sin. Now, more new studies are being conducted on the cause of socialist sick society in which we live, but they can't find the answer. Now, I want you to listen to this, because they reject it before they ever begin to study it. Now, you listen to this statement, will you? Education is their God. They have made a God out of education. That's what's happened in this generation. We've made a God out of education. That's true. All right? What has happened? Now, education is turning on them. What have they been teaching in our universities, in our colleges, in our schools over the country? There is writing, there is the turning over of that student's body all over the country because of what's been taught back there. They've made an God of education. Now, their God is turning on them to destroy what they've been doing. Because our education today is godless and Christless. Now let me close with that thought, will you? And drive that thing home. We talk about religious schools, and no doubt we have some that's holding Christ up as the center of that school, but very few today where men can sit and study and be under teachers who emphasize and magnify and glorify the Son of God in every class that they teach, whether it's mathematics or the Bible. My friend, education, the God of the world today has turned upon them. And what can we do? There's nothing I know we can do. God help us in this hour.
This brings to the close another Voice of Truth broadcast, and this is the Pastor Albert Pendarvis. The message today was The Signs of the Times, the Gentile Sign, by the late Pastor L.R. Shelton, Sr. These messages, along with last week and next week on the Signs of the Time, will be in print, and we'd be glad to send them to you free and postpaid simply by your writing, asking us, emailing us. My email address is pastor@radiomissions.org. And I fail to give you our website. Oftentimes I do. It's radiomissions.org. We'll send these to you in printed form. You can order them. Or we'll send you a title list of all of them. You can order them, pick and choose. They're free and postpaid. But they're also available on cassette and CDs for a small fee. You write me and we'll send you that information. The message was, The Signs of the Times, the Gentile Sign.